Well, there's a new twist to the blues, courtesy of Dragon Deer. Dragon Deer is a Denver band visiting our valley tonight, playing at the Temporary in Willits, adjacent to the Element Hotel and across the way from Whole Foods, beginning at 8 p.m. I don't think I've ever heard a mandolin as a lead instrument in a blues band. No, that was not a guitar. That was a mandolin, believe it or not. Very interesting. Dragon Deer, tonight, 8 p.m. Well, hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into yet another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler, and our first segment today is produced by a new voice on KDNK, Jill Rubin. Jill is a recent arrival from California who caught on and bought into KDNK pretty quickly, so we know she has good taste. Jill will produce occasional segments on Express Yourself in the coming months, and who knows, you might hear her on her own public affairs show sometime in the future. Jill, welcome to KDNK.
Well, thank you, Luke. This is exactly why I'm here. You people are, you rock here. You make my world come true, so I love it.
Thanks nice. So well, much. Who did you bring in on your first interview today?
Well, my first interview is an incredible our Carbondale artist by the name of Paul Maynes. His show is currently running at the Arts R2 Gallery in the Launch Pad. It winds down towards the closing of September 1st. Paul has representation in galleries and collections around the world, including a monumental piece that is now in Brussels at the Hotel de Ville. All this can be found on Paul's website, which is paulmaynes.com. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
One of the things that I find fascinating about you, Paul, is that when you left Texas for New York at the age of 35 and began this journey of painting and exhibiting your work in some of the most famous museums and galleries around the world, was there a plan in place? Did you have a muse? Or was it just the timing of your journey for your talent to finally emerge?
Oh, it must have just been timing because I had no, I didn't have a plan.
No plan?
Nah.
No plan. Just at 35, you said, I'm leaving Texas and I'm headed for New York.
Well, I thought about leaving Texas. And when I started to paint, I thought about going to New York. And so I did. I went through art school in Texas, and a couple of years before I was finished with that, I started making trips to New York, and as soon as I got out of school, I used Hunter College in New York to go to graduate school, and that's what moved me up there.
But the attention that you must have gotten from some of the most famous gallery owners and museums, your pieces are literally hanging all over the world. How did that come about for you as a brand new artist in New York?
Oh, I don't know. I really have no idea. I was in a group show at a gallery in New York called Kuros, and that gallery picked me up, and I started having shows there, and paintings started selling, and it just kind of went on from there. I met some incredible people while I was there, and I was very fortunate.
Well, your work, I saw the show, and your work is quite eclectic. And it seems to me that you're driven by what's happening in our world, or perhaps it's for you personally. For me, when I saw one of your paintings, Woman with Pearls, which is also in the gallery here, my immediate response was, she says so many things of what it is to be a woman and what it represents. What is behind a painting such as that?
Well, I'm not really sure because I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I grew up in a house full of women, and so I've got a pretty good resistance to estrogen poisoning. But I don't know. I was looking at the art of John Graham, who was a big influence on the abstract expressionists, and he painted portraits of women whose eyes were crossed, and is so in that painting. And I put a net of hexagons covering that canvas, so the net is between the viewer and the portrait of the woman. And exactly what it means, I'm not sure, really. But
it spoke to you at that
point. Well, it did, and everyone has a different interpretation of a painting, so a painting might mean something to somebody and something completely different to somebody else, and that's the way it should be.
All right, this piece that I was mentioning earlier, the one that's in Brussels, Entry of Christ into New York, number 2, is what you tell us. Again, this is a very different piece. It is extremely intriguing. Everyone can see that on Paul's website. What's the story behind this one?
It's a big painting. It's 91 inches by 175, I think. And it took place over a number of years, 8 or 10 years. It traveled to several different studios I had in the Ark. The influence was from a Belgian painter named James Ensor, who made a painting in 1888 called The Entry of Christ into Brussels in 1889. So it was a future event. And it was a political painting, had very little to do with Christ. Ensor was painted as a very small figure in this parade way in the back, riding a donkey. And anyway, so I just got the idea to make a painting that expressed some of the things that I felt about people that I knew. And a lot of the people that I know are in that painting. There's an Egyptian figure, there's a skull, there's Isaac Newton, there's Leonardo da Vinci, and it's just kind of, it's a very personal but a historical painting as well. My wife, my sisters, nephews of mine, my father, there's some blind priests, there's some painter friends of mine and various artists. Goya is in there someplace. And it was just a very interesting painting to make. And I had a lot of time to look at it and decide what it was I wanted to do. And again, it's a painting that will be interpreted by different people in different ways. And
so there was a one.
Well, yeah, there was a one in the late 80s. I did a painting of the same title that went to a show in Paris and is still there. Somebody has that painting there. I have no idea where it is. It's similar painting in a way, but in a way it's not nearly as articulated or as well thought out. And so.
But it tells a story. One and two. Yeah, perhaps we'll see a three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we'll see a three.
Doubt it.
You doubt it.
Well, it's time left.
Well, you know, in your earlier work, you mentioned painting bowls, and the bowls painting is also hanging in the Arts R2 gallery, and that they have a significant, idea or meaning behind them? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Everybody on Earth has a bowl, and every one of them has got something different in it.
And we're talking bowl, B-O-W-L.
Yeah, bowls, like a cereal bowl. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of just a metaphor for humans. And there's all kind of variation in the way that they're stacked up. They fill a canvas. They go beyond the edge of the canvas. And it's just basically a metaphor for humans and what we are and what we have and the answer to those things are everything.
Tell all of our listeners the title of that painting.
The title of it, of the one that's in the show at the launch pad, is Recuerdo, which means memory in Spanish.
And how did bowls become memory in Spanish?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know.
You've got to come up with a title.
You've got to come up with a title.
And,
that's the artist's mind, folks. Yeah. That's the artist's mind.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You know, one of the things that I'd like to talk about, Paul, that's quite different that's happening now is the internet and websites. Your work, for me, is exemplary of a museum piece. They are large. They are eclectic. They are paintings. They're all done in oils, and they are to be seen in person. Can you talk a little bit about the beginning of your days in New York when you were hanging on galleries and your work was very successful? Has the business of selling art changed for you?
It hadn't changed for me because I don't really know much about the business of selling art. It's a funny business.
Do you
business.
Earn a living selling art?
Well, I've earned a living for years and years selling art. I've been very fortunate in that regard. selling art, art dealers kind of make used car salesmen seem angelic because in large part you're selling a product that has no intrinsic value. And so an art dealer can sell a painting, which is some cotton duck or linen with a little dry pigment suspended in linseed oil smeared on top of it, tacked to some boards for whatever the chutzpah they have to sell it for. And
so that is how your work is being sold as is, in the galleries.
Yeah.
In that was the question. That's what I wanted to know, because we do have a great deal of artists out there that have become very successful. They don't have that gallery exposure, so they are self-sufficient on the websites and so forth. So I was curious to that. So that's quite interesting. You use the term, when I read your bio, you use the term your work is big. What does that mean, big?
Well, it's human scale. It's fun to paint big. I paint little, too, but it's fun to approach a canvas with a brush, and it is, in a way, an extension of your arm. And I guess maybe my attraction to painting big really kind of came from the painters in this country in the 40s that comprised the art movement known as abstract expressionism that blossomed in the 50s and 60s and 70s and kind of came to an end in the 80s with the original abstract expressionists, Jackson Pollock and Willem de Kooning and a host of people that painted big. And it's fun to paint big. And I started out painting big and just have always liked it.
And your studio's here in Carbondale?
It is.
And you paint here?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And how long were you in New York?
I was in New York for 32 years.
And that was from leaving Texas at the age of 35.
Yes.
And I'm curious. That's, you know, the title of this show is Express Yourself. And one of the awesome things about artists, any artist, is most of your work comes from within, comes from life stories, comes from life history, comes from the life pattern. At 35, were you painting as a child and this just became a profession? Was it something that came out of you? I'm curious, Paul, how did that happen at that age?
Well, I went through a number of different iterations in my life. None that I'd want to speak about. I went to Europe in 1970. A friend and I went over there, bought two motorcycles, and spent the summer there. And
nice.
We went to museums. We went to the Louvre and the Prado and Rodin's Museum. And at that age, 21 years old, it was very enlightening and exciting. And I wanted to do something that had to do with art. So I started taking photographs and took photographs in my 20s. And it was frustrating in the town in Texas, Beaumont, Texas, where I lived. And I just stopped taking photographs one day and started painting. I was 30 years old, and 2 years later I went back through Lamar University, where I already had a degree. So I didn't have to take academics. I was in the art department all day, and I was a grown man. I was serious. I really wanted something. So I was kind of a unique entity there and became very close to a wonderful painting teacher, Jerry Newman, who also taught drawing. And if you wanted to learn how to draw, he was gifted in that he could teach you how to do that. And I was very single-minded and very propelled, and started thinking about going to New York, and did so. And
did you have a family, a wife, children at that time?
No. I got married when I was 52, and have admonished my young nephews that might be a little bit early.
Got it. So you led an incredible New York life, and you've been here now in Colorado since June of 2014.
Right, 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And how is that for you?
Oh.
Very different than the life and times of a New York City artist.
It's a little bit different than New York. There's no fly fishing on Park Avenue, that's for sure. New York was a lot of fun. It's a great kids' town. I don't need to be in New York. I certainly needed to be in New York, but I don't need to be there anymore. And this is a beautiful place. It's I mean, it's in the mountains. It's lovely. My wife and I live in Happy Valley, and my activities haven't changed much.
How about your work?
Well, no, certainly, I don't know. I don't know if there's been a change because of the move. I really don't think so. I paint inside under incandescent lights, and my ideas come from dreams and, you know, wherever they come from. And I think that a lot of my ideas have been established for a long time. And so, anyway.
Well, here in Carbondale, Colorado, it is absolutely wonderful to have a gentleman whose work has hung in the Guggenheim, in the Modern Museum, the Metropolitan Modern Museum Art in New York. And we are here now, and all of his work can be seen at the launch pad in the Arts R2 Gallery. It will be winding down September 1st. And once again, I want to give you Paul's website. So some of these pieces that are not local, you can look at it. Paul, P-A-U-L, Manes at M-A-N-E-S. .com. I apologize for the it's spelled M-A-N-E-S, so I look at it and I see different things. What's in store for you next, Paul? Where's the show going to go after this? Is there any plans, do you know of?
I just had a show in Malaga in Spain in May, and there's going to be a show in 2018 in Toledo. No, wait. Well, there's a show in Caserta in Italy, and there's going to be one in Toledo, and there's going to be one in Pueblo, Mexico. So
there we go. We're a little bit closer.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's wonderful. Well, we want to thank Paul very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing more of your work, and we wish you the very best. More years to come here in Colorado.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Jill.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. More to come on today's Express Yourself. That was the Budos Band performing Up From the South from a Daptone Records compilation. The Budos Band plays Belly Up tomorrow night. And if you're lucky, you have friends that you can sit around with and talk about music. Surely that's a pleasure, and it might even be a passion. What you're about to hear is the second music meeting where I had the privilege of sitting down with fellow KDNK staffers Cody Lee, the assistant music director, and the station manager Gavin Dahl to talk about some new records. Welcome to the second music meeting. With me now is Gavin Dahl, KDNK station manager.
Thanks for putting this together.
And Cody Lee, the assistant music director here at KDNK.
Hello, everyone.
We had a lot of fun last time, and I've been looking forward to doing the next one, so glad we're sitting down and doing this.
What are you bringing to the table today, Gavin?
All right, so we got brand new music out of Denver. Ross Ryan, a.k.a. Stay Loose. He's an electronic music producer. It's the most pop, most accessible, most guilty pleasure music he's made yet. He's been not necessarily what I would normally play.
Really? Why?
I think of myself as sort of more anti-pop, but this stuff just, it keeps getting stuck in my head. And he's been working with some kind of young up-and-coming vocalists for his new album. A couple of female vocalists who have been kind of catching my ear are Brave and Maddie, M-A-D-I. But we got to listen to one of the best grooves on the record featuring a very young vocalist. His name is Mascalo. This is Dragons by Stay Loose.
Locked up, rainy day. The weather here too late is my stay. Inside a room where strangers pass on through. The stories that I've seen prolong its misery. This room has life on sin. In constant company. And it rains all the day, every day, in the same place. Stories in the bedroom, place is tone, another name, not a change, no. And it rains all the day, every day, in the same place. Stories in the bedroom, place is tone, another name, no, this ain't change, no. Same place, stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, not a change, no. And it rains all the day, every day, to the same place, stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, no, the same chain, no.
I'll probably leave today. That lonely room away. It's got a broken mindset, cause it's been through hell, locked up, the demons reign. The weather here delays my stay. Inside a room, everything that comes is doom.
And it rains all the day, every day, the same place. Stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, not a change, no. And it rains all the day, every day, the same place. Stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, no, this ain't change, no.
Same place, stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, not a change, no. It rains all the day, every day, through the same place, stories, the bedroom, place is tone, another name, no, the same change, no.
Stay Loose, out of Denver, with the song Dragons featuring Mascalo.
I like the soulful vocals there. In the beginning, especially.
Stay Loose is abbreviated STELOUSE.
Yeah, when I first came out, I was DJing on KGNU, and I thought he was French, and I had no idea that it was pronounced Stay Loose. So when I used to DJ in Boulder and Denver, I would be like, Solus.
I thought it was St. Laos.
Yeah. Right. And,
I know, it looks like Stay Laos.
Right. Well, and so, you know, he's kind of grew up touring in rock bands, and so his live set is very musical. It's there's instrument, you know, live drummer, keys, bass, and live, you know, live vocals. And so it's not, he's not just, you know, a DJ in front of a laptop, which is, I think, one of the common complaints about electronic music, particularly in the live setting. But, you know, it's there's so many subgenres in electronic music. I think I would call this new album future bass. So it's sort of a lot, really synth, you know, a lot of synth stuff, has kind of druggy, stonery flourishes, but then really it kind of follows the popular, you know, EDM bass music genre a little bit more closely than what I usually listen to, and it's just these songs just keep getting hooked in my head.
So how does this Stay Loose album compare to his previous work?
So I would say his earlier stuff, where I really fell in love with him as an artist, was kind of more what they call trap, you know, like a real kind of hip-hop influenced and very kind of grimy. And his new stuff, he just, it's like he, you said, kind of soulful vocals, he just sort of opened up his palette, and it's a lot more I don't know, poppy. It's just, and I don't, like I said, I don't really go for the poppy stuff that much. He's done a bunch of remixes he's done a few like official remixes for big name artists, and then he's done tons of unofficial ones. So that's one of the other fun things, is kind of learning about him. A lot of people have learned about him through other artists they like, that he, you know, redid the beats on something and kind of, you know, got found out that way. And then I just think his new album has these really fun kind of summer jams. I know DJ Ridiculous said he keeps, it's not normally the kind of thing he would play either, but he just keeps playing songs off the record, because it, especially in the summer when you're kind of feeling like you're in a groove.
Huh. You know, I think that's a sign of some talent if it captures people that wouldn't normally play it or be drawn to it.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine either of you guys playing him on your shows, though.
I did.
You did?
Really?
Yeah. One.
It's a little poppy for my flavor, but right. I would play it at late night for sure.
Yeah, nice.
And he's a Colorado artist.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping we can get him up to the Valley for a gig. He's done a few things in Denver. That's where I first heard about him. And then his vocalist, Mascalo, he's got like screaming, adoring fans. Like you almost feel like you're like a teenager with the Beatles, you know, like the British Invasion type thing. Like the people are going crazy for Mascalo. We'll see what happens with him. He seems like he's just like a teenage skateboarder who somehow has a little bit of wisdom with the ladies.
Oh. Okay. This is not exactly a new album that I'm bringing to the table today. It came out in February, but I still can't get enough of it. I was listening to it this morning and just in complete awe. It's still my favorite album of 2017 so far. And this is Jessica Hoop on Sub Pop Records. Her album's called Memories Are Now. I was just reading about her that she grew up Mormon and singing hymns with her family in four-part harmony, and then kind of broke away from that at the age of 14. And said she spent a lot of time kind of on the land, like living in yurts in Northern California and Wyoming, or in a renovated chicken shack. And I thought that was kind of a cool story, but she was doing like an outdoor ed sort of thing with kids in Arizona. And she was discovered by Tom Waits. I guess she was nannying for Tom Waits' children for a few years in LA. So at the age of 20, I guess, Tom Waits hooked her up with a producer in LA, and she started making music there. This is her fifth studio album, and I just think it's so complex and rich, and I love her songwriting. So I want to start off with, I think it's the third track, Animal Kingdom Chaotic. ¶¶
ones and zeros.
I just work, your computer says no.
Ooh, you know you wanna, but the computer says no. You know you wanna take back control. Says no. Ooh, you know you ought to wanna take back control. Take back control. Take back control. Take back control. Human can't wipe that by rising drone. Take back control.
Wish we could play like three more songs from that, but that that showcases a little bit of what this album is about. I think
that digital effect at the end was kind of cool.
That like
sounded like a robot. So that song was about robots.
Yeah, it sounds like I think we live in pretty weird times, and we're probably wondering what it is to be human anymore.
I couldn't help but think of the Terminator story. You know, the idea of the machines that get too intelligent and then take over humankind. Yeah. She's talking about drones, and the computer says no. Yeah. That's spooky. It's a spooky world she's describing.
Yeah, there was a line that said, robots are the new exotic animal kingdom chaotic. I like that.
That's what that song was called, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned the Tom Waits connection. I never made that
leap
in my mind. And I heard this album, you know, and played it. But once you said that, I suddenly thought, oh, she could be like the next Tom Waits maybe or something, you know?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Tom Waits. There's actually a quote from him that sounds like Tom Waits, but he said he compared her to like a four-sided coin. She's an old soul like a black pearl, a good witch or a red moon. Her music is like going swimming in a lake at night.
Nice. Wow.
That's a big compliment.
That's like the best blurb ever,
you're right.
Pretty much. Holy cow. That's really cool. That's an interesting career track. From learning to sing in a Mormon church to Tom Waits' Nag to indie folk rock icon.
Yeah, right.
Where'd she go after this? Like president of the U.S.?
I'm excited to see what else she has in store. I was reading that last year's album with Sam Beam, you know, that was notable to me. I remember liking the album, but it was a little folkier in that kind of Sam Beam Iron and Wine kind of way. And it said that was kind of a breakout for her to reach out to more audience. So, yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not normally drawn to that, but it's complex music. It's not just three chords and a blazing cloud of dust.
Yes.
You know, it's
lots of cello, violin kind of string work, which I really appreciate.
Huh. Jessica Hoop. Sub Pop? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
She's in that Sub Pop field.
Sub Pop is wild, too. You know? They have some. Like Shabazz Palaces was on Sub Pop. That's so different.
Yeah.
The new Jessica Hoop is Memories Are Now.
Cool. Well, I'm bringing to the table a London musical collective called the Heliocentrics. Excuse me. And I first became aware of the Heliocentrics in 2009 when they did an album called Inspiration Information with Mulatu Astatke, who's an Ethiopian jazz player and a giant in jazz, in the worldwide jazz scene. And they backed him on this album called Inspiration Information. And there are at least 6 songs out of 12 that I still play all the time.
What year did that come out?
2009.
Okay, that's when I was new around here, so I remember that album.
Yeah. And they just did this release. It's called something about masks. What is it? A World of Masks. But that's right on the heels of another one, which they recently completed, which is a soundtrack album to a new documentary called The Sunshine Makers, about LSD. Cool. And their music is very trancy.
Yes.
It's really cool. This one is from the brand new. It's called A World of Masks. Here is The Uncertainty Principle from the Heliocentrics. Thank you. road trip music. A long straightaway, the windows are rolled down, and you've got the heliocentrics turned up on the stereo. I'm proud to be an American.
I don't think I'd be sober enough to drive if I was rocking out to that album.
That was super hot. Oops. It's coming back.
It's a flashback. It's flashback kind of music, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Soundtrack to your recent flashback.
Very psychedelic, groovy.
Yeah. I watched a really cool video. It's on, let's see, hold on a minute. TheVinylFactory.com. And it's a 2-minute video of the maestro of the Heliocentrics. His name is Malcolm Caddo. He's the drummer and the producer, and he's giving a tour of his basement studio, and it's all analog. There's nothing digital anywhere in sight. So lots of toggles and meters and dials and knobs, but nothing digital.
I love that, actually. And I noticed that at the very beginning of the song, it sounded to me like they were just turning up the distortion on it on just a guitar, like.
I like it because, well, I like that. I'm a sucker for that trancey stuff, but mm-hmm. it's in a jazz context.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not in an EDM context.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
So the uncertainty principle is apparently one of the most famous ideas in physics.
Heisenberg.
Right, the Heisenberg uncertainty.
Is that
principle.
The name of the song?
Uh-huh.
Quantum mechanics. So it kind of makes you feel like there's some impossible to for us to comprehend depths in the music.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like spider webs.
It's vibrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like in two places at the same time.
Just like the universe.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the heliocentrics. Gotta love them.
They must be pretty smart dudes.
You know, and I went to their Bandcamp page and sampled some of that Sunshine Maker's original soundtrack, and it's really cool, too. All really short, though. They're all 2 minutes and 3 minutes. But
Well, maybe we'll have to have a screening of the Sunshine Makers when it comes out.
Might be
Katie and K.
Yeah. Is acid a thing nowadays?
Not a KDK.
I think it still is a thing.
I think people on the street now refer to it as L. Hey man, want some L? And I'm
like, what the L?
No thanks.
What the L?
Well, I'm a much bigger fan of the Heliocentrics now, so thanks, Luke.
Yeah, they're cool. I can't wait to hear what they come up with next. And that concludes the second music meeting. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, if you missed any part of this second music meeting, go to kdnk.org and find it right there on the homepage. And we also just posted the first one if you missed that, which we broadcast probably about a month ago. Let's see. There's a new documentary being produced on the murals of Lightning Heart. Fred Haberlein is at work on his 140th piece of public art and has been twice nominated for the Governor's Award for Excellence in the Arts. This documentary focuses on the power of public art to foster local pride and regional and community identity and to catalyze other positive change. The filmmaker of the piece is Roger Cotton Brown, excuse me, who is a pioneer adventure filmmaker, member of the Colorado Ski Hall of Fame, and veteran of over 50 expeditions and films in 30 countries. He's been awarded 4 Emmys and multiple honors, and he has a little help on this project from Johir Begay, who is a rising videographer from right here in Carbondale. They're looking for support. You can make your tax-deductible contributions to Carbondale Arts and be sure to earmark your donation for the Fred Haberlein mural documentary. You can get more information at 963-1680 or info@carbondalearts.com. Well, that brings to the end of another Express Yourself. Thank you for listening. Let's go out with another Dragon Deer piece. Let's check out what they do with Deep Ellum Blues. Dragon Deer, of course, playing tonight over at the Temporary in Willits. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the news, and please remember to go out there and express yourself. Thank you.
house shoes. Women in deep bedlam give you them deep bedlam blues. I said no, sweet mama. Yo, daddy got them deep bedlam blues. I said no, sweet mama. Yo, daddy got them deep bedlam blues.
We're listening to the sounds of a